This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
A special Tuesday edition of the Steve Young Report. We are so fortunate that he has taken some time out of his day to talk some football with us, and he joins us now. Steve, how you doing?
Great, Mike.
All right, let's start this way. You watched the game yesterday.
I did.
Is Tom Brady done?
No. Physically, Tom Brady is the game today.
He's ready.
So much more wide open. Mm-hmm. It's easier for offense. Look, at 7 of the 8 head coaches in the league for the final, for the playoffs are all offensive-minded coaches. The game has gone that way. The safety protocols that are only going to get more so as we move along here. It's an offensive juggernaut, and so he doesn't. And he's protected. He doesn't have to. Physically, he's not going to be challenged. He can still throw it. That's what happened. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, their arms quit. They would all still be playing. If he got the right place where he could get protected, maybe a running game and get some help, he could go still do it. There's no question about that. The question I have for him is his emotional wherewithal. It takes so much more as you get older because it's a young man's emotional game too. So much of the coach's crap and the stuff that goes on every day and the things you do, it's a young man's game, not just physically but emotionally as well. And it gets to be a point where you just move on. It's just, I just can't put the emotional, in the bank every year. And I think this year was the first time Tom ran out emotionally. I think you could see it. Whatever happened personally, what happened with the Miami Dolphin thing, with retirement, with all of it, this is the first time he had to deal with being kind of emotionally bankrupt at some point. And I think you felt that even yesterday. So if you said to me, can Tom come back and play? Yeah. If he gets the right spot, mm-hmm. gets the help. And he has the emotional commitment because that's, I think, Aaron Rodgers, 50-50, he retires from $60 million of guaranteed money next year because of this same issue. That you think, oh, okay, emotionally you can't handle it. It's not about handling it. It's just about the commitment you make, the decision you make, what's best for your life, and whether you kind of, it's time to move on to something else.
But wouldn't that be, I never want to get into somebody's personal life, but people are saying that by coming back this year, he might have lost his marriage, and then all of a sudden you're not going to play after that? I mean, you lost your marriage. So shouldn't he be more emotionally invested?
Every at 45, every season's another whole generation of decision-making.
It's right.
The decision I made last year is the decision I'm going to make this year? Mm-hmm. He made the decision last year thinking that sounds like he had this Dolphin thing where he's going to be the president, an equity owner, and the quarterback. Like, and it all fell through. And then everything else went haywire. Look, he's going to – one thing very – he was on his podcast last week. He is not going to rush this. He's going to take some time. He's going to see what's possible. He's also going to take an emotional kind of – it's like anything, Michael. You get to places in your life when you – and he's been doing this every year and has chosen to come back, but it's going to come the one time he's going to go, no, I'm good. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he's got to decide. But if you said no team will want him and nor can he play anymore – that's a fallacy.
All right, so
that one needs to be that. This is not true.
If it was Steve Young, would it impact you at all, Steve, that he doesn't want to go out in a game like that, or does he have enough equity in the bank that he doesn't care?
At this point, come on, Michael. He look at the stat last night: 35 playoffs wins. This is before the game. 35 playoff wins. The same number of playoff wins for the Dallas Cowboys franchise in its history. I mean, it's so pale. Nothing. What happened yesterday is nothing.
Okay.
It's not even worth talking about.
But you're a baseball fan, and a lot of people say, "Oh, Willie Mays." All we remember is he's fallen down in the 1973 World Series. So the negative people out there are going to always accentuate the way you end it.
Good luck. Let him live. Let him go.
Right.
Like, let it ride, because at some point, if you're going to live to try to have the people that are going to try to pull you down, like, if you're going to live to them, that's how you're going to – I love living to use that as a chip on my shoulder, mm-hmm. something to go after, something to prove people wrong, But at some level, at some place, you have to decide, look, this is my life, and I'm making the best decision. And honestly, I just can't fathom that how the game went yesterday meant anything in the big picture.
All right, it's only one game, but it's a playoff game. It's his first playoff game. How much did Daniel Jones' stock rise in your eyes or anybody's eyes based off of what happened in Minnesota?
Playoff games change trajectory, perception, change careers.
Mm-hmm.
Playoffs have that ability. That's why playoffs are amazing. Like, in some ways, it overdoes it, and it goes both directions equally poorly or great. And so I think it's phenomenal. It stabilizes his position with the team. Like, what's the ceiling? We talked about even the game on Saturday. Was it Saturday or Sunday? I got lost track.
But it was Sunday.
He ran it out of the huddle 17 times. This is a guy that did things that were, it's like all year long, calm your mind. We're not going to ask so much of you. We're going to get more out of Daniel Jones by asking less. And in that crazy irony, he gives more. Like, it's a cool thing that Brian Daboll did that only quarterback-centric, offensive-minded, you know, innovative minds can do. And it brings out the best in quarterbacks. And that's what we've seen throughout Daniel Jones. He was a man leaking oil everywhere a year ago today. Everyone's like, he can't play. He can't get it done. I don't even know where it's going. The oil was flying everywhere. And now all of a sudden it's just buttoned up. He's building off of a really strong base, and he's winning big ball games. So what is the ceiling? We don't know. Daniel doesn't know. But I can guarantee he's on a trajectory to find out.
So am I crazy, Steve? I kind of like the Giants to really play a competitive game this Saturday. I you're not a betting man, I'm sure, but I like them to cover, and I like them to maybe win.
They're a good football team. Brian's been very specific all year long on what we're going to try to accomplish, and he stayed with it. And they've built off of it like little tiny extensions offensively, as I mentioned, to put a little bit more heat on what Daniel can do, and maybe create some more, you know, kind of complications for defenses. But the fundamentals of just Giant defense, of playing great defense, all control line of scrimmage, run the football, and play great play action, and then put Daniel on the run. It's like, what did I say during the year? They've gone from irrelevant to relevant. Can they do something in January? I don't know. Hey, shut up, Steve Young. Let's go.
Lamar Jackson looks like, I mean, the marriage might be ending in Baltimore. I don't know if it will. If you're the Jets, is that the guy you want? I always worry about Lamar because he's not Steve Young, because he doesn't throw like Steve Young. He could run like Steve Young, and I think the legs at some point will give out. What's your thoughts on Lamar, and would that be an answer for the Jets?
I've made a case many times that the Baltimore Ravens did him a disservice over time because they doubled down on what he was doing in college and have not developed him as a sophisticated passer with weapons. They have doubled down for a very, very specific, like Brian Daboll. Who are we, the Ravens? Ferocious defense, bullies, big offensive line, and great running, most sophisticated running game in history. And that's what they've done. And they beat up a lot of teams in the regular season, but they're always one and out in the playoffs because it's a quarterback-centric, high-flying, closers in the like the NBA in the fourth quarter who can go and, you know, throw it all over the field. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Herbert, and Lamar should be in that group. He should be. And because he hasn't been – and look, they chose not to do it. They chose a different philosophy that fed into Lamar's greatest talent. But what is his greatest talent in the long run? It might be throwing the football. I just don't think we know. And I think either the Ravens have to transition to go invest in the receivers, change their philosophy, and extend on what Lamar can do. Because certainly what he's been doing is phenomenal at. But it will wane. That will slow down over time. Injuries will come. We get that. So you better become a sophisticated passer. He's a good passer. I mean, he's a good quality passer. Can he be great? Anyone who says, I don't think so, or I don't think, or no, doesn't. All you do is damning the process. Let the man be given the opportunity to be in a system that really extends on all of those talents and all those qualities that you see. Every week we talk about it. Tua, even Kirk Cousins' best year that he's had. Jalen Hurts comes from a rookie that was kind of flailing around, now is going to be the MVP. Look what they get out of Jimmy G. Look what they get out of Brock Purdy. Look where they're getting. All these places are getting so much more out of quarterbacks because that's what they're that's the expertise that they provide, and that's why Lamar needs that spot. And I'm not saying it can't be Baltimore. It's fine if it's Baltimore, but let's change the fundamental philosophy of what they've been doing in the past.
We were talking earlier about, you know, Bosa's antics at the end of the game that might have ended up costing the game, as Jacksonville went for two off the penalty and then doubling down the next day about the officials. You talk so much about policing the room. What would Steve Young say to Bosa about what he did?
You got to go. Can't. That's not. I mean, that's just that's a different paradigm to even be allowed. Like the second the helmet's flying in on the field in the biggest moment of the season, and it's about you. No. That is a great team, a great locker room would just pound like would pound on that. That would be an impossible scenario. If it was buttoned up in a great self-policing locker room, that doesn't happen. Just doesn't. You see, look at the teams where the great teams don't. You say, well, why doesn't that happen? Because it's just not. It's a whole different paradigm. You know, it's not even thought of. Like no one would do that. No one would selfishly do something in the biggest moment, like to throw some tantrum, like stupidity. Like, come on, you got to be kidding me. Costing seasons? You just said maybe it cost them a season. I mean, it's just unfathomable for teams that are buttoned up. And that does speak to coaching. It speaks to owner. It speaks to quarterback. It speaks to the locker room. It speaks to all of that. And while Justin Herbert sits there, high quality should be in that group with the other group, the other three that I mentioned. You say, oh, he's young. Well, yeah, the years go by. They're just wasting years. And the Chargers have got to get that figured out.
Let me ask you about the other quarterback in that game. Does it impress you more and tell you about the onions that this kid possesses to throw four interceptions in the first half and to play the way he did in the second half?
You have to take the positive. Because do I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to, in big games in the future, throw four picks in the first half? Like, right, like that's not going to work. Like, that's not – I'm not – am I worried – about that, but what did I learn is that you can turn, and because a lot of times we're humans, right? And he's like, I'm losing the season. I'm losing. It's my fault. And a lot of guys get lost in that emotion and never recover and play worse. But he has, like you said, the onions to turn and build back and to kind of rally and find a way back. I mean, that's the heck of a thing. I take the whole event of four interceptions and then four touchdowns as a huge positive. Because I think the four interceptions are manageable. Like, I don't think that's going to be the future.
Now, I'm wondering about one thing about that game, though. We know the Chargers don't have a great running game. But don't you commit more to the run when you have a 27-0 lead just to take time off the clock, even if you don't have a great running game? They kept throwing the ball, Steve.
100%. The Bills have the same problem in some ways. They have two quarterbacks that are carrying. They're both Superman. Josh has more behind him and more help than Justin, but they're both Superman. And so what happens is the team tends to lean in and say, well, yeah, that's how we roll. But like, you've got to have a 2-score up offense. That's already, there should be a section of the play sheet that's up 2 scores that are already set.
Mm-hmm.
Already like, this is what we're going to do. It should be thought out. And then there, it's not that you can't throw. But the throws are going to be high quality, things that you know they're going to give a shot and then put him on the run and, like, eat up some clock. But move the football. You don't want to just turn inside. Even the runs can be expansive runs and ones that put a little more risk. But we've got to find ways to keep the clock running when you're up by a couple scores on the road in the playoffs. Like, come on.
Steve, have you ever been involved in a game where something – obviously, it's never happened. So something like the Brett Maher situation has happened. I don't know the last time I felt that bad for a pro athlete, but when they decided not to let him kick the field goal, I was like heartbroken for the guy. You ever seen anything like that?
I know.
And would you – they've announced they're not going to look for a kicker. Do you agree that you just trot him out again and try for a different result?
Let's just take the – firstly, he had a great season, so it had to be a shock to everybody, and especially to him. And I'm standing there. We stood there for the first half just watching, and I – you're like, you missed the first one. You're like, oh, yeah. Missed the second straight, same spot. So it's like, bro, pro kickers, they're commodity between, they're automatic 45 and in 50 even nowadays. I mean, it's amazing what they're doing. And he has been all year. So then the third one, he decides, okay, I push two, and I'm going to pull the third one. I'm like, this guy, this has turned into – and that's why I think football is so amazing, is we get to sit there and stare at, on TV, emotional melt. Like, we all can stand in those shoes. You can feel it. You can cringe. You sit in your couch. You're like, you feel the back of your spine. You're like, oh, if I haven't felt that in my life, I felt something like this. And I can just – you can viscerally feel – what he's going through, and you sense it. And then when you said they skipped him on the field goal, and you see his face, he went running out, remember? And like, hey,
yeah.
Come on back. And he comes back, and the face, we all, like, I it's such an amazing moment for humanity to all of us see that and go, hey, how would I deal with that? How should we all, like, it's great learning. I've always said everything that happens on the football field is truth, because there's 80,000 witnesses, there's rules, there's a score, there's a clock. Like, it's all human nature is all in the field. It's the truth. And you saw that truth, and I thought it was amazing. And then to give him the field goal, I mean, then he got the extra point, and he drills it down the middle, and you could just see, like, you know, like something simple that you've done 1,000 times in your life, and you can't do all of a sudden, the yips, you get the crazy yip, you're like on national TV in the playoffs, and you think, okay, I've righted the ship. And I love, do you see what Dak said after the game?
Hmm.
When he said, hey, look, he's our guy. I've had situations like that, and I come back, and so will he. That's freaking leadership there.
No, I
all
agree.
All the issues that Dak has, and all the things, the challenges, and all the things that I even expressed last night on the show, I can tell you one thing. That dude is a – you talk about onions, this guy. This guy's for leadership in the locker room. I just wish that he had more authority. You know, the owner just got to give up some authority so people can grab it. But yeah, but what was your final question? Was keeping the job. I think once Dak says that, the leader of the team says, this is how we're rolling, then
right.
he's good to go. And I think that's how he comes back and probably drills four field goals this weekend.
You like their chances in San Francisco?
It's tough. The 49ers are tough. I mean, the only way they're going to win this football game is they can get into that defensive secondary of the 49ers like the Chiefs did. The Chiefs got to the weakness of the 49ers, and they exposed it for 44 points. Now, that's why it's going to be tough if the 49ers get to the Super Bowl or even the Eagles. If somebody can get into that secondary, then things can change. But if you don't and you have the front seven, and then that offense is going to – they're going to eat you up time, and they're also going to put up mid-20s, 30 points. It's just going to happen. And so I it's tough. Watching – I will say the Cowboy offense – it feels like 2010, even 1995. Watching the schemes and the call, the innovation I see in other football, especially the teams that are in the playoffs this weekend, it's the least innovative that I see. And so, if they have the strength and the kind of mono kind of power to just go will it against this defense, then I give them credit. But I think it's a tough road to hoe.
All right. So before we let you go, let me go over the games and just give me a quick thought: Giants, Eagles.
Tremendous. I think it's a better game than anyone ever imagined. And I think the Eagles are swimming. They've been swimming in the deep end for 3 or 4 months. And I think that they lost their mojo. And now if they get it back and could show that we're the Eagles that we saw at Halloween, then everybody's going to say, well, watch out. But if they don't and they get in a tight ball game with the Giants and win or lose, they've been wounded. And if they get beat, obviously, the Giants – I mean, the Giants – can they host? No, they can't host.
Who can? No.
The Cowboys could host. The Cowboys could host, right?
I guess. Yeah, yeah. If they beat the 49ers,
Amazing. Yeah, fun game. Can't wait to watch it.
All right, so you talk about Cowboys 49ers. How about Jaguars Chiefs?
This is that dream of the number one seed, is that you get a team like the Jaguars. Tough, getting better every game. If the season went to, you know, May, the Jaguars might be top of the league. I don't know. They're getting better every week. But as for the Chiefs, this is a game where you just take care of business and get ready to fight it out with whoever wins the Josh Allen, Joe Burrow contest.
All right, so that's the final one. Bengals, Bills, the game that didn't take place will now take place. Who do you like?
Both quarterbacks. Like I've said many times, the next 10 years, 2033, we look back and you say, Steve, who was in the AFC Super Bowl for the last 10 years? It's going to be those three guys. Unless maybe just Trevor Lawrence or Justin Herbert can get a team that's good enough to go do it. But those three guys are going to be there every year. And so, you know, this is one of, this is, and it's going to be, somebody's going to have to beat the other two in a row. So, like, in other words, Burrow or Josh Allen's going to have to beat each other and then go beat Mahomes. Well, Mahomes only has to beat him once. So his odds are for Patrick Mahomes to the Super Bowl because those are the three guys that are going to decide it. So this game is really about, is Josh Allen, the spread between touchdowns and interceptions is the key to me. If Josh Allen has the spread of one, you know, two interceptions and two touchdowns, that's no spread. That's not good. And I think, but if Joe Burrow doesn't get protected and then doesn't get on the run and he doesn't have kind of three touchdowns and one interception or none, I think that spread of mistakes versus touchdowns for those two quarterbacks will make that decision. Will make the game.
Am I wrong to worry a little bit about the fact that, you know, the Bills don't run?
Yeah, because they put it on. I mean, Josh Allen has been Superman. He's proved to be able to do it in the playoffs. 17 touchdowns, three interceptions or something in the playoffs. He has been, but he hasn't been able to go the distance. He hasn't been able to be Superman, and I think that's why Patrick Mahomes has an advantage right now over the other two, because he's figured out a way to be, I'm going to say mature, and I'm going to freak out, but what I'm talking about is to find that fine line where I can be expansive, I can be aggressive, but I'm not as reckless as I once was. There's a maturity in it. And Josh has got to figure out, and I think the Bills have to help him put a governor on it and figure out a way to get someone else to contribute, you know, kind of into the offense. You can't carry it all the time, every week, making heroic plays. It just gets to be too much.
Great stuff as always, Steve. Enjoy the games this week, and they should be fun.
Yeah.
All right. You guys are the best.
Thank you, man. Steve Young, and now you. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take your phone calls. A lot of football to talk about. Big win for the Giants over the Vikings. And now the Eagles, by the way, Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Eagles, did reveal something very, very important. He and his coaching staff ordered a bunch of Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza to watch the Giant game.
Oh, we know that at least.
Yeah, we do know that. Don't know how that impacts the game, but we'll it is exactly what they ate. We have that? Let's see. We actually can hear Nick talk about it. Here it is.
I was like kind of craving a Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza, which is, I haven't had that in a while. That's not something I get to get at home. So we had that. It was in the offensive staff room.
So you do with that what you want right now, because I think it could be big.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quick story before we go to the phone. So the kids are taking skiing lessons. This is the second week. So Jody had to do something. I drove them up there. And so it was really cold, really, really cold. So I was trying to stay out there when they would be coming down the hill so they could see me watching. And then I was going to go and, you know, there was like an indoor part where you could watch from the window.
That sounds better.
Right. But they didn't see me up there, so I wanted them to know that Dad was watching.
That's important.
Right, so
that's
down there watching.
Be there.
And it was cold, again, cold. And stuff was running out of my nose, like, just grossly. It was so cold.
Wow.
And I turned around.
You didn't have
tissues?
Or
no, I kept wiping it on my coat. But,
my God,
I turned around.
Like a five-year-old.
And it's dripping into my mouth, right? It's like pouring out. And a guy standing go, Michael K., I love you, Don and Peter. And his picture of me now is with snot coming down my nose into my mouth.
You couldn't get...
I wasn't expecting to see somebody. And then I said, what looks worse, me wiping on my arm or just dripping, you know, forward? So I said, I'll drip forward, and shook his hand.
Snot is running down his nose.
Is that a song?
It is now.
Jethro Tull, Aqualung.
Oh, really?
Go find it. No, Anthony will find it.
That's not right.
No, but no, you know what I mean. Anyway, it's like Dumb and Dumber.
I was thinking Dumb and Dumber, yeah. Too.
So that's something else. Like a highbrow skier.
That's really unfortunate.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Yeah, come on. You knew Michael's kids were going to get ski lessons. I'm surprised not getting, like, you know, luge lessons.
Yeah, right?
Next.
Horseback riding's next.
You don't think it's a good thing to give kids ski lessons?
No.
I wish I can't start now at 61.
I agree. It is nice to be able to ski. I went on a couple ski trips in high school, didn't know what I was doing, and it was annoying. Everyone left me behind.
Yeah,
I was, like, struggling on greens by myself.
It's not good.
Just get me to the... And you know what you do? The more your kids are capable of skiing, the more that they're skiing and not just getting wasted in the lodge.
Oh, okay.
That's how you should think about it.
It's
you know what I mean?
Really good point. You know what? You're an advanced thinker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Here's one thing about skiing, though, John, if you're thinking about with the twins. So we signed them up for these lessons, and the day of the first lesson, we have to go to a ski shop and buy them helmets. They have to have helmets, have to buy goggles, thermal underwear, and gloves.
Mm.
Brought it to the register. You know, the woman's just taking stuff. $608. Oh. I looked at Jody. So, are you kidding me?
Holy crap.
Jean-Claude Keeley? What are we doing here? So, well, they can't ski without. I said $600?
Did they have fun at least?
Yeah, they're enjoying it.
That's good.
Yeah, and it's making me think about retiring.
Wasted. You can't put a price on that, Mike.
Now, you know what? You can't put a price on everything, Don, so stop it. All right, let's go to, Tessa wants to bring the heat now.
Nice.
All right, Tessa in New Jersey. Go for
there
it, Tessa.
We go.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for taking my call. Listen, I keep on trying to keep it together. Listen, right. Don, I'm so happy for us at Giants Nation, Don. You know, I'm so happy for us, Don. Like, I'm going to ride this until the freaking wheels fall off the wagon, burn up everything. I'm never getting off this wagon. But, Peter, remember last week I was Mrs. Bad Guy. I'm going to continue to be her this week. I'm going to continue to be petty. Remember you said keep that same energy? Oh, it's kept.
I love it.
Definitely kept.
Go for it. Let me explain something to you.
Peter, listen, you don't want to sit here and say, like, oh, you guys are spoiled. You did it up. Peter, it doesn't matter.
True.
Don is right. A lot of us are Yankees fans or whatever like that, and we are used to a certain pedigree. It's been pure hell with these three coaches. You're used to trash coaches. We're not.
We had
conflict for 80 years. It's been pure hell with these three trash coaches we had in the past. It just moved, and it was terrible. It was like I wanted to throw up every day. Everybody was trash. So now we finally get a coach that coaches fundamentals, that makes Daniel Jones. He's going to make $30 million this year. He's probably going to franchise Saquon. Like, to get that, you got to give us that. We're excited.
I did. Hold on. Did I not give you that? I absolutely said it's been a masterful job.
You're doing it because there's so much egg in your face.
No.
The whole
there's no egg.
Fresh.
No egg. There's no egg in my face. My face is fresh. There's no egg to be seen.
No, Peter, it's definitely not fresh. Because, Peter, everybody picked against us.
You know who should have egg? Holy Tessa, this is what's unfair. You're over here ripping me to shreds. And first of all, I don't know if you know this. My first head coach was a guy named Joe Gibbs. So I did experience good coaching and have been let down ever since. But
when was that, Peter?
But I already said that. You're making my point for me. Exactly. That for me was when I was a child. And I've had to suffer through every Marty Schottenheimer, every other one that's come through. The person who really has the egg on his face, let's be honest, Michael, is Don LaGreca.
Oh. How? Wow.
So Don.
Don has egg on his face.
Oh, no. Don, I'll tell you what. You're going to love Don because he's your fellow Giants.
He
said,
no.
Hear me out,
Peter,
Don.
You started this with me, though, Peter. You started this.
That's
you
right.
You started this. When you tried to say that, I was like, oh, we're going to win. We're going to win handily with good against all. So all of a sudden, it was never like that. We played a complete freaking game.
You've been fantastic. Nothing but love for
that
how you played.
Best,
it was
the whole weekend, everybody has to admit, that was the best game. It was excellent coaching and excellent offense. That was the best game
that was
a great game.
I mean, Minnesota does not play defense, but it was a fantastic game. But here's why Don has egg on his face. Tessa,
tell me.
I appreciate the call.
Wow, tell
she
me.
She wants to come up in for what I said.
Yeah,
and
give
I said
you a
critical
tie.
Things.
Yeah.
Don sat in that very same seat. You were here. He sat right there in that chair.
Right there, right to the right.
And said he could foresee them not winning another football game.
Right.
He did.
So everyone's coming
for
at me because I'm not the Giants fan. Don had the hardest take of anyone.
But listen, I'm not going to apologize for that take because we live in the moment. I'm not going to be a blind fan saying and still having faith. I watched what was happening to this team. Didn't look like they belonged on the same field with the Philadelphia Eagles. you know, barely beating the Houston Texans. This was a team that that just was not playing well, and
they were
hurt. They were banged up, and they looked lost. And they didn't make a move at the trade deadline. Why? Because their own coaching staff and general manager and organization were not going to throw everything into this year because it was the first year of a rebuild. I read the tea leaves and I said, it looks like they're not going to win another game. And I looked at the schedule. And listen, and in that length of time, Peter, they won and tied a game. Right?
Yeah. It was rough.
You know, it was a rough span. All right? But here's what happened. They got healthier, they got some guys back, and they started to play better. So in that moment, I looked and I said, I'm not going to win another game. And then they came together, they got healthy, and they started playing better. So in that moment, now did it age well? No, it aged terribly.
Oh, that's all. I'm just saying, well, everyone wants to come at me because I'm the commie fan, and so everyone wants to beat me up. I get it. But just so you know, it was your own guy, your own beloved Giant fan, who said they might not win another football game. I never said that. I thought this Giants team has been pretty solid all year. I didn't think they were that talented. I thought the Commanders could have beaten them. I still look back and think the Commanders could have beaten them, but they didn't. And the Giants are the team winning playoff games, and we are the team sitting at home waiting for a sale. I own that.
Can we actually unpack what just happened here, Don? I want you to know about your buddy, what he just did. Floundering in the ocean. And he pulled you into the water. He wanted you to drive.
It was right. What I did was right.
If you want a more accurate, I think Peter will really love this. It's one of my favorite movies. It's like Guilty Pleasure because it's not a great movie. Mm-hmm. But it's got a lot of people that I like in it and I enjoy it. New Jack City.
It is a great movie. It's just got some bad acting. Judd Nelson is not covered in glory.
I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, no.
You know.
That's where I got Sia, by the way.
And by the way, Ice-T is brand new. He's not the Ice-T we know now. He was a kid.
He was unsweetened at that point.
So, but Dom, why are you going to New Jack City?
I just want to get the, because the Wesley Snipes character,
you're talking about Nino Brown. Okay, yeah.
When they attack him with the machine guns at the wedding, all right, he picked up the small child to shield himself.
That's what he did.
Yeah, he was getting shot at by Tessa. He grabbed me, a little six-year-old Don LeGreca, and shielded himself.
No, it just popped into my mind because she goes, you have egg on your face, and I'm trying to think of what take.
Right, so you want to bring Don into
the egg. I didn't ever have an egg on my face take. Me believing that she shouldn't have just written off the Commanders? Yeah, I do think that. They played two close games, a tie and 2013. So I wasn't wrong then. Daniel Jones, me not being sure that he's worth a ton of money, I won't back off of that. The only person who made a super bold prediction potentially about the Giants was Giant fan himself, Don LeGreca.
Still doing
it. I'm pointing it out.
Still
doing it. Why? He didn't. He's not denying it.
Yeah, but why do it? Maybe he wants to hide.
Man, listen.
I know he would never hide.
It's really dangerous to do this because I don't want to jinx anything. But it's amazing the similarities to 2007. Because you go back to 2007, Eli had that, like, he threw two pick sixes against the Minnesota Vikings. Look, lost. There were times in 07, you're like, this team isn't any good. They're firing Tom Coughlin. They started 0-2, and all of a sudden they caught fire. Same thing in 2011. Where's this team going? Then all of a sudden you had the 99-yard touchdown catch from Victor Cruz against the Jets, and it all kind of came together. To your point from earlier in the show, they're using the same script they've used before. They were dead in 1990. Phil Simms got hurt. Jeff Hostetler had to be the quarterback, and it looked like their season was going to fall apart, and then they get hot and they win. It's just
so
weird.
Then riddle me this. If they win Saturday night in Philadelphia, what – at this point, to beat a team that's that good, too, where would that sort of rank? What game would you compare that to if the Giants can win Saturday night?
Well, that's going into Green Bay and beating the 15-1 Packers in 2011. Mm. Well, Aaron Rodgers. People forget how difficult those paths were. I'll tell you what.
Because they think about the Patriots.
You want to say it again? If they beat the Eagles, they're going to the Super Bowl.
I think you're right. That is the take. And by the way, can you imagine? What if? Hold on. If the Giants beat the Eagles and the Cowboys beat the 49ers, and then the Giants beat the Cowboys, so their path to the Super Bowl is through the Eagles and the Cowboys, that run could be as great as the undefeated Patriots season in terms of what it means to fans to go through the... To go through the Eagles and the Cowboys on your way to the Super Bowl?
How different it is than in 07. Again, they had to beat the 13-3 Cowboys. And at that point, under that format that I think went back to 1990, the Cowboys were the first one seed to lose their first playoff game at home. And then they go to Green Bay, Brett Favre, I believe the Packers were also 13-3 or 12-4, beat them.
But I mean two divisional rivals on their way there.
Listen, that would be sweet. But I don't think the path is nearly as hard as it was in 07 or even 2011.
I agree. Oh, no. In terms of hard, I think you're right. I think this is actually kind of open.
Because really, I'm not predicting that they're going to do it. I'm scared of the Eagles. But again, you're looking at Philadelphia with a banged up quarterback and then San Francisco with a rookie quarterback. Kind of a half rookie, right? He didn't even play the whole season. Is that beating Brett Favre?
By the way,
Jalen Hurts taken off the injury list today by the Eagles. So his shoulders have been bothering him. He was asked, are you worried about the Giants, zeroing in on your shoulder? He goes, I'm out there every game. People's trying to hurt me. So, I'm not worried at all.
Tried hurting. It's his shoulder. You're going to try to sack the quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, was that what about the horrid roughing the passer call?
The only way I'll accept it is if they were calling that his hand glanced his helmet.
Right. And even then, it was
glancing. It can't even be the throwdown.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
By the way, I found out yesterday, I don't know why I didn't find this out, that the Bruce Springsteen is playing April 1st at the Garden. So I looked at the Yankee schedule. The Yankees have a game against the Giants at Yankee Stadium at 4:05.
Ooh.
So I can make it. I made some phone calls yesterday, and I said, listen, I want to buy these tickets. I just want one ticket.
One? Because
Jody's doing something.
You would go solo.
I would go solo because I like to enjoy Bruce Springsteen. I don't want to talk.
Wow, that much.
And I ran into a couple of brick walls. Nothing.
Come on.
Yeah, couldn't get in.
Michael K. couldn't get in.
Could not. Look down upon.
You asked here at this radio station?
I'm not going to say where I asked, but it's not
maybe
happening.
Maybe it's time.
Might be time.
That feels like it might be time.
Doesn't that tell you that?
To me, that feels like it might be time.
Shove out the door, yeah.
That to me feels like it might be time. Speaking of might be time, it might be time for me to find a new team. How do you guys feel about this tweet from the Commanders earlier today? I just saw we're interviewing Pat Shurmur for our offensive coordinator opening.
Brilliant move.
Okay.
I don't know if that excites me.
He was a good offensive coordinator. He's a bad coach.
All right.
Did a good job with the Vikings, and the Giants were convinced he should be their head coach, and they were dead wrong.
Right, and that Vikings offense was damn good, right? That was the one that went on the little playoff run a few years ago? That was the Shurmur-led vehicle, right? And then
I think he was the OC of that miracle play against the Saints.
Right.
And then 2019, right?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And the Giants, yeah.
No.
No, no.
No, that wouldn't add up.
Why?
How many years was Judge here?
Two.
Two, yeah. 2021. Yeah, so no, it wasn't that, but he did a good job because they thought that this was the guy that was going to fix Eli.
Fix Eli.
Sure. We'll get the information here. Hold on.
Look it up, please.
Oh, let's go to the phones while Don does that.
He's also at the Broncos.
In Basking Ridge. Bobby.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Quickly, before I get to my point, Michael and Don, I don't know if you remember taking the time to talk to a bright-eyed Arizona State freshman at Media Row at Super Bowl 49, but I still look back on that day very fondly, and you guys were incredibly kind to me, so I wanted to thank you for that.
And what are you doing now, Bob?
I have since graduated from Arizona State, and I am back in New Jersey working in the edit department at MLB Network.
Good for you. Good continued success.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, cool, man.
I want to defend Peter against my Giant fan base brethren.
Okay.
I think, Peter, you have been spot on with Daniel Jones, thinking that at the beginning of the season, I would say 85% of the fan base, if not more, myself included, did not envision a world where Jones would be the quarterback past this season.
Including and the front office, by the way, Bob.
Go ahead. That's fine.
Correct. So here we are 20 weeks later, and there's a lot of people out there trying to overcorrect and now think that Jones is a clone of Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to take anything away from what he has done. He has been phenomenal lately, and I am thrilled to have been proven wrong by his ability. But I think Peter is right in saying that there's just got to be a little bit of a get back on track, not $50 million. Let's all just try to enjoy this ride, enjoy it for what it is. And Don, quickly before I get off, this game this weekend is giving me flashbacks in reverse to 2008. Giants were the one seed at home, coming off the bye. Eagles were the hot wild card team coming in, and the Eagles knocked them off. it's going to take a big effort, but the Giants could do the inverse to the Eagles this weekend, and I think that is cause for celebration amongst us Giants fans. Thank you all for taking my call. Have a good day.
All right, thanks,
thanks man. That terrific was really call. Cool. I think the bye they needed because they needed to get Hurts 100%, but it does allow you to get stale, right? I mean, you didn't play great in week 7, 18.
Here's a good question. I don't know the answer because I'm not very bright.
True.
When was the last time the Eagles played a complete and really good game with Jalen Hurts?
Before he got hurt.
I know, but when was that?
Well, he was out, what, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, so it's been over a month? Has it been like 4 or 5 weeks since they've played?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Doesn't it
almost, without Nick Foles thrown into the equation, it almost has that Carson Wentz feel where Jalen Hurts was going to be the MVP. Then he goes down with an injury. Whoa. Carson Wentz was going to be the MVP. Then he goes down with an injury. Oh, but that story ended with the Eagles winning a Super Bowl.
Right. And
now it would have to be Gardner Minshew.
And that's not going to be Gardner. It's going to be back to Jalen Hurts.
It was 2017, the last year, where here's the OC in Minnesota, Pat Shurmur. That's when he turned Case Keenum around. They lost in the championship game in 2017. They beat New Orleans, but that was the 14-3 win in the divisional round. He was the assistant coach of the year.
And that's why the Giants got him.
Didn't work. And that's fine because, listen, he was able to turn around Case Keenum. Can he do the same with whoever the quarterback is for Washington?
maybe he'll bring in Case Keenum.
Oh, by the way, we already had him once. Want to bring him back?
Yeah, bring him back.
I'll take Keenum back, sure.
Congratulations to Kevin Getz. Kevin Getz.
Guess what?
A $200 Amex gift card. He's from Norwalk, and he won the Superbox Bonanza for this hour. We gave away three today.
Wow, we're very generous.
Yeah, very generous.
Especially you.
The Superbox Bonanza!
Kevin gets a $200 Amex gift card.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. I've had a good time on the show.
I have. I've enjoyed the program.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, now I'm thinking about whether it's time for me to go.
No.
When you have days like this.
No, it's not time for you. That's what I'm saying. It's not time for you to go. No, I truthfully don't believe it's time for you to go.
Really? Interesting.
Well, don't vacillate. Come up with a decision already, for God's sake.
Nobody seems to be wanting one.
People want a decision. I say
that's not what I understand.
Yeah, I think people want a decision. If I'm you, let me just give a quick recommendation for Michael K. moving forward. I say you come back one more time. You announce this is the last run.
This is the last.
And you go on a 2-year run. We give it all we got, and then you ride off into glory. That's what I think.
Or into a cemetery. At the age of 63.
That would be really sad.
I know.
Unfortunate.
Very.
Yeah.
Dying on the air isn't your dream?
But you got to do it on the air.
No, it's not. It is not.
Well, it's his nightmare
if it
to
was
die.
In the Yankee booth, though, in this sterile white, walled studio.
This kind of feels like what the waiting room for heaven might be like.
Or a mausoleum, inside of a mausoleum. Without the Michael K. posters. That would be purgatory for you.
What would the name of the book be if you died on the air?
Dead on the Air.
Wow. The Michael K. story.
Yeah, taking the air out of him.
Taking the air out.
Well, K doesn't always mean strikeout.
That's the one.
All right, so you've got ENN all lined up, right? How are you feeling about it?
We have a lot we got to go back. This weekend had a lot to talk about. We got into some of it, but the Giants obviously took up a lot of space today. So we got to talk more about the NFL weekend.
Did you happen to see, by the way, how Don lit up earlier today? Because Dan Grosse is actually in.
It was nice to see him. He's my best friend. I don't get to see him often.
Why is he his best friend?
Well, what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it, but I just wonder. I mean, he's had the Stark brothers. Why aren't they his best friend?
Well, yeah, he did jump some people.
He jumped the Starks. How did he do that?
You don't want to jump the
Stark. You want to jump the shark. You don't want to jump the Stark.
Well, just time. You evolve. I love John and Jimmy. I saw John the other day.
Yeah, with the guy
they're
from
all
Florida, right?
They're all very good friends.
But they can't
but
all
as
be
of
best.
Right now, considering I work with Dan, I know I was on the phone with Dan for an hour on the way to work today.
Is it true that you stopped?
You spoke with him for an hour?
Yeah, what else are you going to do?
Listen to music, listen to
talk. I could, but I enjoyed talking to Dan. I hadn't talked to Dan in several days.
Is it true that you stopped talking to Starks after his terrible Game 7 performance against Houston?
No, this is another Stark. This is Stark. By the way, I just want to ask you, I want you to be honest. Do you have a friend?
Yeah, go ahead.
That your face lights up the way Don's lit up when he saw Dan?
Did I light up?
You did. Hey, that's lighting up. Do you have a friend like that? Because I don't. The closest would be Breen. And I don't think I light up.
You mean it's not a it's because there are plenty of people who, if you don't see them for a long time, you see them and you
light
up.
He spoke to him for an hour today.
But he's
and he so acted like I hadn't talked to him in like a week. We had the Giant game to go over.
Right.
Different things that were happening.
He acted like the guy just spent 2 years on the tour of duty.
But by the way, did you catch the other part that he said? We had the Giant game to go over, as if they have their own show off the air.
That's right.
They got to cover some ground.
The Don and Dan show.
The Don and Dan.
Ah, boy. Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.